Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour on the programme, we're continuing our coverage as we get closer to September's House of Keys general election with the first of two 2016 election candidate interviews today. We're joined now by 49-year-old John McDonough, who's announced that he'll be contesting the election in Ramsey, the only constituency which isn't affected by the boundary changes. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu.
First of all, spend a couple of minutes explaining who you are and where you've come from.
Certainly, I'd say I'm 49-year-old. I've lived in Ramsey for 37 years. I'm quite happy there, love living there. Unfortunately, I work in Douglas, I have to travel over the mountain every day. But I say I love the community feel, the strong community feel of Ramsey. I'm a civil servant working for the road safety team, and I've worked in the private sector as well. So I think feel I've got a good all-round experience of talking to people on different levels.
All right, so you've worked in several government departments, so it's likely that you'll have seen firsthand some of the obstacles that politicians can face in dealing with the workings of departments when trying to get things going. How would you overcome those obstacles if you're elected?
But sometimes I've seen in different departments that we go to the trouble of employing highly skilled, qualified people that know their thing, but then, and they'll come up with something. But then the politician will turn around and say, well, I'm not sure my constituents want that. But whether it's the best option. Obviously, you've got to do what's best for your constituents.
Yes.
But then if it's totally the wrong scheme and you're going to go against that, why bother hiring someone with all those qualifications if you're going to go against them?
Well, but some people might say, you know, the trouble with the Isle of Man government is that it's run completely by the civil servants, that they're the people who run the country and not the politicians.
Well, the thing is, I think the next administration has to get it across that it's the taxpayers' money. We all work for the taxpayer, the civil service included. So we have to try and balance what the needs are of the island against what the people who are paying for it, the taxpayer, the public, want.
Okay, now you're working in the civil service. You've done so for many years. You say you've worked in the private sector as well. An awful lot of candidates that I've spoken to say that they want to reduce the size of the civil service. We've got far too many people on the government payroll. I'm guessing that your position is different to that because you're working within that sort of public sector.
Yes, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but there is the thing. But I think people look at the government payroll and think, what are all those people doing? But now that some departments have been centralised and put together, economies are being made. But yeah, I think we still could be, as a civil servant, I think we still could work smarter and produce more from the same number of people.
People think that we've got too many middle managers, for example, that, you know, there are far too many people checking on other people's work rather than actually producing anything themselves. Would you care to comment on that? Or would you like to take the Fifth Amendment?
No, in my current position, I'm very lucky with a small team. So that isn't the case, whereas I've worked in several other departments where you think it is very top-heavy.
Yes.
Because you may turn round for an opinion and you'll get four different answers.
Yeah.
You think, well, who do I listen to?
Fair dues. You've served for 4 years as a Ramsey Commissioner. That must have been interesting, but why do you want to leave that behind effectively and move up to national politics?
Yes, I didn't stand. I was very lucky and fortunate to be elected in 2012. But now, there's a general frustration amongst some of the local authorities that although we're getting more powers to do things locally, there's still a disconnection between national parliaments and local councils. And I think we, having worked as a commissioner, served as a commissioner,
yeah,
I know the frustration that the local authorities have. So I see things from their side. And so I'm all for helping them. We've passed more responsibilities to them. So let's give them the wherewithal to do the jobs we've passed to them.
Okay. A cynic might say that, you know, you stood in 2011 for MHK and you didn't get in, so you went for the next best thing, which was to be a commissioner, on the basis that it might serve you well in terms of a future bid for MHK. I mean, how would you answer that?
No, I mean, I want to say I'm interested in local politics and I want to do the best for myself, my family and friends, and for the island, because it's my home. So therefore, as I say, I didn't get elected in 2011. So then I was fortunate. I was voted in as a commissioner, and I was proud to serve the town. And it would give me a good grounding. But I want to serve the people of the island, be it on a local level or a national level.
How do you balance the two, do you think? Because it might be that, you know, your constituents want you to do one thing, but you talk to your colleagues in the House of Keys if you're elected, and it transpires that that's maybe not the best thing for the whole island. So how do you split between the two different responsibilities?
That's the balancing act, because obviously your constituents have voted you in. They put you there to do the best for Ramsey in this case, but it might be a case of when you look, if there's bringing a new business to the island, but it would be more straightforward or beneficial for the island as a whole for it to locate somewhere other than Ramsey, then I've got to justify to my constituents, well, you voted me in to do the best not only for Ramsey, for the island, then therefore, although it won't be in Ramsey where you'd ideally like it, it still benefits the island. So it all goes into the, at the end of the day, it all goes into the one pot.
Well, obviously, standing for MHK for Ramsey, that's your primary interest, is the town and the people of Ramsey. But having said that, you know, you want to try and build up the amount of trade in Ramsey. I think you're fairly supportive of the regeneration scheme there, for example. But you want to see more businesses move to Ramsey. Isn't that just one of those things that it'll find its own natural level, that people will always consider Ramsey, but they might decide that they need to be where the lawyers or the accountants are in Douglas?
But we have lawyers and accountants in Ramsey, so there's no reason they can't come to Ramsey. We have available retail space, office space and industrial space. So, I'm sure it would be easier for people to get to work on a daily basis in Ramsey than sometimes the road situation in Douglas.
I think Ramsey is a great place. I'd quite happily live in Ramsey, but I couldn't face the uncertainty over the mountain road every day because, you know, you've only got to get a blow of wind or whatever, and they seem to close it these days.
Well, obviously, safety's paramount. The thing is, I mean, I travel over the mountain every day, so it's just a case of when I get up in the morning, first thing is the radio goes on, so I'm aware of any hold-ups, so I know to leave early. But yeah, absolutely, if you come to Ramsey, you could vote for me then.
What's Ramsey got, do you think, that the rest of the island hasn't? You know, what sort of unique selling propositions have you got in Ramsey?
Certainly we've got the Morag Park, which is a fantastic facility. It's an open-air facility. We've got a good variety of small businesses that you won't find anywhere else on the island. And we've got a great community feel, as was proved over the recent trouble with the relocation of the post office.
Yeah.
It just showed the strength of community by everyone standing together.
Well, and you've got a pier as well, which has been like a political football, hasn't it, for as long as I can remember?
Yes, I mean, it is a big part of the town. I mean, personally, I think it's gone that far now. I don't think, unless finances change and the island is awash with money, government can look at restoring it, but I think even if that were to be done, it's never going to pay it back.
Yeah.
It's too easy to visit piers in the UK where they're just down the motorway. But I mean, I wish every success for the trust that's been set up in an endeavour to restore it in part as time goes on. But I was never in favour with the present finance situation of using taxpayers' money to facilitate something that may never take off.
Yeah, but the option, I suppose, is to let it sort of fall apart. You know, nobody really wants that to happen, do they?
No, well, the thing is, it's a registered building, so when it came up, the decision was to keep it registered.
Okay.
But the unfortunate thing is then we're spending a large amount of money every year just to keep it as it is.
You say that you'd endeavour to represent the wishes of the electorate, but still aim for what's best for the island. This is the difficulty, I think, isn't it, for an elected politician? And how do you get that balance right? Because there will be times, if you're elected as an MHK, that you need to vote on something in a way that maybe the people who voted you in won't appreciate or won't like at all.
That's it. Well, if I voted against something that would be beneficial for Ramsey, but I said weighing it up, that it's more beneficial for the island as a whole to go somewhere else. As long as I feel hand on heart that I've made the right decision for the island as a whole, then I will go back and look at my constituents in the eye and say, this is it.
Do you think that that's what is needed a bit more of, maybe, that kind of transparency, that kind of MHKs talking to the electorate and saying, you know, this is the situation, this is what I voted for, here's why I voted for it, you know, do you agree or not? And they might issue a lynch mob and say, no, you're completely wrong to do it. But
well, that's their position to do it, because they're the people who've put me there to replace, to represent them. But the word, talking to various people around the town as I've been visiting councils, there is a general, a lot of people feel, although we've got two MHKs, one's the Chief Minister, they feel that only certain parts of the community are being represented, and other people they don't see from one year to the next.
Right, yeah. You'd like to see, looking through your manifesto, you'd like to see satellite offices set up around the island to offer government services to those people who still aren't online. I mean, the government's been working very hard over the last few years to try and get things online to cut costs. Wouldn't this undo that, and wouldn't it add more cost at the time that the government's trying to save money?
Well, the thing is, I mean, we've got a large amount of the community who are getting on in years, and therefore they're never going to be in online or internet savvy. So why should we, just because they're of a certain generation, make it harder for them? Say, well, the majority have got it fine. I mean, I do my tax return online. It takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But if you've got a problem with you've got a query regarding your income tax or your rates, and you can't explain the situation over the phone, sometimes it's just a case of holding the letter up and say, what does this mean?
Yeah.
If I'm saying not set permanent offices around the island, just have a locations in different towns, say one day a week, such as...
like a government bus type thing that travels around the island.
Yeah, such as now it would be an ideal use for part of the old post office.
Yeah.
Say, on a Monday, Tuesday, whatever, income tax will be here. If you have any queries, you can make a specific appointment or just drop in.
It's going to be a big change at this election. There are going to be quite a lot of new MHKs, I would imagine.
Yes.
Looking at the people who are standing down. Do you think that that's going to be a problem, or do you think it's a great opportunity?
I think it's a fantastic opportunity, particularly, as I say, if we get a good mix that represents the people who are out there in the towns and the villages, rather than just all business people, etc. Because then we get a good mix of feedback and ideas. We have lost, well, we will lose a vast amount of experience, but it would be nice to tap into that if we could, if the ex-ministers, etc., and the Chief Minister, if we knew we could contact them for a bit of advice, just a bit of their input.
Yeah. Okay, you're not a fan of the tax cap. I mean, you talked earlier about certain sectors of the community seem to be doing better than others.
Yes.
Is this a fairness thing with you, the tax cap? Because the government would say, hang on a minute, this is bringing in millions of pounds every year, no real cost to anybody. So, you know, if we remove the tax cap, we'd lose millions in revenue. That would be a bad thing, surely.
Yep. I mean, before the tax cap came in, we were still making lots of money. I don't think it's necessarily increased the intake. I'm not saying take it away altogether. Renegotiate it, maybe because our base rate's 10%. Look at, would they be willing to pay 10%, because we're still a low tax jurisdiction. And by all means, those of people who want to set up businesses and industries on the island, That's why we've got the Department of Economic Development. Any extra tax that comes in could go to extra funding to set up those businesses.
But what would happen if we ended up with less tax coming in because people actually moved off to somewhere warmer if they thought, oh, well, you know, the tax advantage isn't there with the Isle of Man anymore, so we'll go off to Jersey, Guernsey, you know, wherever, Malta, wherever it might happen to be. If we actually lost money, then that'd just work against that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm not saying do it in one fell swoop.
Right.
Maybe do it a trickle effect. Say consult with business. As I say, we can look at the business and say, although we're looking at maybe tweaking the tax cap so you pay more, if you come to equally on the reverse side of it, we can offer you more help to set up a business, more grants, etc., more chance to offer employment on the island.
Okay. In terms of local authorities and the national government, where do you see the demarcation line between the two? Because I think you've said that Ramsay commissioners could administer functions for other local authorities in the north. Doesn't that make you a sort of a super authority if that happened? And how do you see? I mean, what about local government reform, for example? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I'm certainly Ramsay town commissioners. We welcome the fact that we can deliver local services at a local level rather than if people pop into the town hall and say, I've got a problem. We're not turning around saying, oh, well, phone this number, it's Douglas. We can say, right, we can see the problem and we can look at dealing with it there and then rather than fobbing them off saying it's not our problem.
Mm.
It's just a case of working with central government so that we can say, you've given us you've transferred these extra powers,
responsibilities,
responsibilities to the local authority. But in order for us to do that, we may need a bit more help, or maybe use share facilities such as government facilities, road sweepers, etc., one day a week.
The worry that a lot of people have expressed to me is that, you know, our politicians, our national politicians, MHKs, are often spending an awful lot of time dealing with constituency issues that may be better handled by local authorities. Do you think that the MHK becomes a focal point for every problem that people have?
I feel that is it. That has been a danger up to now. If people go to the local authority and they don't get the answer they like, then they'll turn around and say, well, I'm going to my MHK.
Yeah.
And they'll do things. But what we need to do, or what the next house needs to do, is take a step back and say, no, we've empowered the local authorities to make these decisions and we will back them up.
Yeah.
Obviously, the job is going to be the case where we disagree with what the local authority have done, but if the local authority then turn around to us and say, no, we're justified in saying that because, and they've justified it, we say, yeah. That's the decision.
What are the big threats facing the next administration? What are the big challenges for the Isle of Man over the next 5 years?
Obviously, there's the Brexit vote is going to have a big impact. What sort of timescale that'll feed in over? I don't think a great deal's going to be achieved over the next 5 years.
Well, is it going to have a big impact on the Isle of Man? And, you know, I'm not an expert in this at all, but isn't it more likely that things will just carry on the way that they are? I mean, well, our arrangement isn't directly with Brussels anyway, it's through the UK. So is it not more likely that our relationship with Europe through the UK remains pretty much the same?
It may well do, but I know Theresa May, the Prime Minister, has said she'll consider the Isle of Man in all the negotiations going forward. But if I was a UK MP, my prime concern would be my constituents,
yes,
not the Isle of Man.
Sure.
So I'll be putting my constituents first. So while it may not affect us, we may still have to renegotiate Protocol 3, see how that goes. But we should always bear in mind things may go differently. So if it happens, we've got a plan B.
Yeah. You say that you'd like to encourage more international businesses to move to the island. How would you do that? I mean, that's something that most candidates are saying. You know, bring in investors, bring in jobs. Of course, that would be great. How do you do it? What do you think unique selling propositions the Isle of Man got that other places haven't?
Well, the Isle of Man, over the past few years, we've got all these international tax exchange agreements. We've shown ourselves, we've gone over and above other jurisdictions to say we are seen to be we all seem to be clear. We've shed our image of being a tax haven.
Yeah.
We've signed all these international agreements to prove it. So we can say, if you come and set up in the Isle of Man, say we've got the Department of Economic Development to help you and assist you set up, and then we've got all these international agreements, so you don't have to renegotiate things.
But those international agreements are only important to the financial sector, surely. You know, I mean, if we've got a company in the UK that wants to manufacture, I don't know, vacuum cleaners or whatever, how would you get them to come to the Isle of Man?
But as I said, we'd like, ideally, through the Department of Economic Development, we'd set up a marketing team for the island. So whereas at the moment, individual department representation members or ministers go to different jurisdictions to talk about one specific issue, we could maybe have set up a marketing team that then go to these different jurisdictions. But if we've been invited to talk about one thing, because we're travelling all that distance, we could contact the embassy of the jurisdiction, say, well, while we're here, can we bring can you set up interviews with other industries or interests?
But the DED would probably say that happens already anyway, that, you know, they are a marketing arm of government, just like Isle of Man Finance was years ago. And they were constantly sending people, not just ministers, they were constantly sending, you know, civil servants out to other jurisdictions to try and get work in. I think the aircraft register, the shipping register are fairly active like that. So what more could you do? Or is it just a case of monitoring the situation we've got?
No, absolutely. I mean, push every little thing that the island's got.
So sweat the assets, really.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a case of look at it more as a business case and employ maybe some top salesmen.
Yeah, if it was seen to pay off, yes.
Okay. Public sector pensions, that's a big point, and I'm sure a lot of people are talking to you about that on the doorstep. Now you'll be somebody who's paying into this scheme, so again, I don't know whether or not your position will be the same as other people in it. In fact, I think that you've said that you'd like to close the public sector pension scheme to new entrants, haven't you?
Yes. The general public are sick of hearing about this big black hole in the pension and they want to see something done about it. We had a big review about 5 years ago that we all upped our contributions and that was going to be fine, and now we're back to square one again and there's more money being spent on it but no outcome. I think government should be seen to bite the bullet and close the scheme to new entrants so that the new entrants come and they're going into a funded scheme, and then it may well be that we have to set up a scheme to bridge the gap while both come together. I'd also like to see politicians, we're all in this together, the politicians in a similar scheme. Why should politicians that lead the nation be in a separate scheme?
Yeah.
We're all in this together, so let's prove it.
Okay. Wouldn't that be very expensive, though, if you closed it? Because, you know, doesn't it rely on people paying in now to pay the existing liabilities?
Well, those that are in the scheme now would still continue to pay.
Right.
So they'd still be
just new entrants.
Just new entrants.
Okay.
As I say, and it may well be that we have to develop another scheme to go with the shortfall while the scheme's coming into alignment.
But one of the problems that we've heard from various people is the fact that it's hard to recruit people to the Isle of Man, you know, in the health service, for example. So if we were to close an attractive on the face of it scheme like this, would that make it even harder to attract top people here?
As I see it, there's so much uncertainty about the public sector pension scheme now. Anyone thinking of relocating to the island has only got to look at what's going on the island to realise it's already a bone of contention with many people.
Yeah.
Whereas if we could turn around and say with certainty, should you come to the Isle of Man, you will join this scheme and not a scheme that's already a bone of, as I say, already very popular with the public.
Yeah. What sort of difference do you think you can make as an MHK? You're standing as an independent candidate. You'll be a new guy. So over the next 5 years, what sort of difference can you make? I mean, will you be somebody who just asks a lot of questions, or have you got skills that you think a new government could use?
Certainly. I mean, by the sounds of it, the next house will have a broad mix of people from all walks. So I will value the input of business people, experienced finance people, etc. But then I can put, I say, my point across from the general public, But as I say, I'm used to dealing with people on all different levels, and I can guarantee that because I'll have no other commitments, being a civil servant, I would have to resign my position should I be elected.
Yeah.
And then this would get my 100% effort all of the time.
Okay. You'd like to see the use of cross-departmental partnerships with regards to health and education. Do you not think the departments work fairly well together as it is?
No, sometimes one department will set something up and you look and think, well, don't they talk to other departments about
silo it? Mentality.
That's absolutely.
We've got 10 seconds left, so John, tell the people of Ramsey why they should vote for you.
And they should vote for me, John McDonough, because I promise to give full-time commitment to what requires full-time commitment.
All right, fair dues. Candidate for Ramsey, John McDonough, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.